Morning, everyone. Good morning. What a beautiful day it is, isn't it? Okay, so what do you call a row of rabbits hopping away? A receding hairline. Rod and Annette. Favourite. What do you call a couple that go fishing? Rod and Annette. Boom. Anyway, as you see today, I've called the talk Waymaker because, well, hopefully, as the talk goes on, you will understand why I've chosen Waymaker. But of course, we know that God is always our Waymaker. He will always make a way, and He's so much more. So this talk has been stirring in my spirit now since January, so I'm quite pleased to speak it out today. So since January, and piece by piece, but not necessarily in the right order, it has developed into what it is today. I'd been thinking quite a bit. My family tell me that I think odd things. But I'd been thinking about, why does God choose to use us? I mean, He's God. Does He need us? No, He doesn't. He can probably do a much better job than we can or do anyway, can't He? Throughout the Bible, there are many references to the characters that He picks and chooses to do His work. And you have to say, He does pick some right old rummuns, doesn't He? You know, probably not the obvious choice, but we can learn so much from them. But what happens, though, when seemingly we are not the next Moses, we're not the next David, we're not the next Deborah or Mary or whatever? What if we don't have a calling like that on our lives? What does that look like? What does it feel like? And what is God's perspective on that? Are we meant to seek out the Moseses and the Davids, the people like that? Are we meant to seek them out and sit beneath their feet, beneath their ministry, or does He have something more for us? Let's take a look. So I'm going to start straight off with a verse, hopefully. Yes. Excellent. Hopefully you can see. I'm not in the way, am I? Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. It's a powerful verse, isn't it? But it's also a very misunderstood verse. There have been times, I have to admit, in my Christian life when it hurt to read that verse or to hear it. Even, dare I say it, times when that verse made me angry. I know when my dad suddenly and unexpectedly died and my mum was suicidal, this was a verse to skip. When I was suffering with depression after a series of traumatic events, how was all that I was going through going to work together for good? It's quite a hard pill to swallow sometimes, isn't it? There may be some of you here today that as I read that verse, you inwardly winced. Perhaps it's hard to imagine that what you are going through at this moment, or even what you have been through, could ever work for good. It's a challenge, isn't it? And it isn't always the big things either, is it? It's the niggly little things in life too. The traffic jam, you know, the kids are playing up. There's not enough money to pay the bills. Those scam phone calls that make you feel like shouting very unchristian words down the phone. The missed bus. The broken freezer, which is kind of where we're at the moment, isn't it? You fill in the blanks, but you know the sort of things that I mean, and we can all relate to them. The big things and the niggly things that rob us of our peace, our perspective, and our joy in Christ. They can happen daily sometimes, can't they? Where is the good? And the enemy whispers, doesn't he? He's very clever. If you struggle with a verse like this, what sort of a Christian are you? But there is hope. We know that there's always hope. Recently, the Holy Spirit revealed something about this verse, something so profound and so beautiful. I'm just so amazed that he revealed it. It was through an article by Peter Gregg, you know, the 24/7 prayer founder. It literally, supernaturally, because I would ordinarily not have seen it or even have read it, it just came before my eyes, it popped up before me. He stated that the words here, work together, here in this passage, come from the Greek word synergas. Work together here comes from the Greek word synergas, from which we get our word synergy. The interaction of two or more agents or forces so that their combined effect is greater than the sum of their individual effects or effort. Isn't that amazing? It literally describes cooperating as a fellow worker with someone or something in order to co-create some greater outcome. Oh my. So in the passage then, who are the two agents or forces? God and me. God and you. That's the synergy. Rob Gregg continued and said this, and so we might paraphrase this verse, all things synergize for good when we love God. In other words, this promise isn't passive. The assurance of Romans 8 verse 28 is synergistic, which is easy for me to say, isn't it? The assurance of Romans 8 verse 28 is synergistic and must therefore be activated. God's goodness in bad situations often awaits a posture of proactivity from me. I must unclench my fists, unfold my arms, and open my palms to the new possibilities disguised in this unfortunate situation or situations. Here in this situation, I'm receiving an invitation which I never expected or desired, to love God. And thus to outwork my calling, which of course comes in the second half of this verse. He went on to say, we often find ourselves in perplexing situations which offer us a surprising opportunity to trust. That whilst God has not sent this predicament, and since he is clearly not taking it away, or it's not going away, he must instead be intending to use it for his glory and my personal growth, your personal growth. Wow. Amen. With this understanding of that verse, it now feels like a verse that I can rest in. It feels like a verse that I can stand whatever the situation or whatever the circumstances. And so I begin to ask myself, how might I use this trial? How might I use this predicament, this annoyance, this disappointment, this failure? How might I use this, whatever it is, to do something good with God? The truth is that we were created by God, yes? So we are called and created to be in synergy with God. Companions in labour, if you like. Fellow labourers or helpers with God. There's evidence of synergy all over the Bible when you start to think about it and look at it. Why? Well, I'm going to give four reasons here now why I think there is synergy all over the Bible. Number one, for his glory. Two, for my own personal growth. Number three, to reveal the Father to an unsaved world. And number four, so the enemy knows that he's lost. In my Christian, there's a sentence that I have learned in my Christian walk to never speak out in times of trials or stress. Oh, I'm going through all of this because I'm under attack from the enemy. I will not give the enemy the satisfaction of hearing that sentence from my lips. We have been given the power and the authority to win those battles, not stand still and accept our lot. We have the promise of synergy. So let's continue to look at synergy and look at John 15, verse 14 to 15. John 15, verses 14 to 15. And just bear in mind when we read this that this is Jesus talking. Okay. And I'm reading it from the Passion Translation because I think it just says it so beautifully. You show that you are my intimate friends when you obey all that I command. I have never called you servants, because a master does not confide in his servants, and serve all you, my most intimate and cherished friends. For I reveal to you everything that I have heard from my Father. How amazing is that verse? To be called his friend. This verse here shows us that there is a difference between working as a servant and working as a friend. Servants work for God. Friends work with God. Big difference. It's what we were created for. We've just heard that. To be friends. Synergy with God. He's your friend. I'm his friend. Why? So that Jesus can reveal to us the heart of Father God. See what they say? Selah. Rest in that. I wanted to take a quick look at synergy and friends in action in the Bible. This is indeed the verse where my journey back in January began. So he kind of gave me the end of the talk first. And one word leapt out at me. So turn with me, if you have your Bibles, turn with me in your Bibles to Ezekiel 37, and it's verse 1 to 4. Now Ezekiel was a very interesting character. God asked him to do so many weird things. I mean, if you ever read ever go to read Ezekiel, poor Ezekiel, you know, he was lying on this side for so many days and then he was lying on, oh, it was just, anyway. It did make me think, what would we make of Ezekiel today? You know, that nutter at the church that is lying on his side. Anyway. So you probably guessed if you've looked it up, we're looking at the story, a story that you probably all know. I mean, it's a story that is often taught in Sunday school. I'm sorry if you don't, but you can read it later. We're looking at the story of the dry bones. It's just a brief glimpse, okay? So, you know, if you want to know and understand more, when you get home, please read on. It's fascinating. Paul says, "The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry." Now, the bones were very dry because they were out in the open, so they hadn't been honoured in being buried. They had been out on the valley floor for a very long time, out in the sun. Decomposition had happened. It was down to the last thing, dry bones. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And Ezekiel, bless him, I think, gives a very safe answer, doesn't he? He says, "Sovereign Lord, only you alone know." But does God ask Ezekiel if these bones can live because God's not sure? Or because he doesn't know, because he needs Ezekiel's opinion? Of course he doesn't. God asks because he's about to do something amazing. So it goes on in verse 4 to say, "And then he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.'" Can anyone guess what was the word that leapt out at me? Synergy, prophecy, prophesy. That was the word that leapt out at me. "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, my bones, hear the word of the Lord." This is Ezekiel working in synergy with God. The dry bones in this passage represent Israel, but that's not what I'm talking about today, because they also represent our dry bones. Well, there are two differences of opinion, really. Ezekiel saw a scene that just looked absolutely hopeless, but God had not given up on them. Ezekiel saw impossibilities. God just saw infinite possibilities. Ezekiel sees nothing that can be saved. God sees an army. Ezekiel sees the unidentifiable, but God knows who they are. Ezekiel saw death. God saw life. Ezekiel saw the forgotten, the abandoned, the unwanted. But God had not forgotten, and he'd not abandoned them. God never forgets. So what are our dry bones? Anything that looks or feels hopeless, impossible, or forgotten. Anything that's abandoned. Interestingly enough, bones are the last thing that remain of a dead body. But I love it when science catches up with God. So I have this on good authority from our archaeologist daughter. So did you know that from bones, an archaeologist can identify whether they were male or female? They can identify how old they were when they died, often what the cause of their death was. Bones, you can find out from bones some of the diseases that they had, and maybe the disease that killed them. You can find out whether they were malnourished or not. You can even detect a region where fish lived. More often than not, you can tell what their profession was. You can also retrieve DNA from teeth. So even in the valley of the dry bones, God knew this information. We just sometimes just have to catch up, don't we? So if you have DNA from a relative, you can quite often, you can match it from the DNA, even in that state, from the DNA in their teeth. Isn't our God so amazing? God asks Ezekiel to prophesy to the dry bones, to hear the word of the Lord. And the bones come together. They knit together. And they live. And God breathes over them. And they rise up and become an army. What an awesome vision that must have been. It's like something out of some movie, isn't it? The dry bones live and become an army. Prophesy was the word that leapt out at me. Prophecy can seem daunting, can't it? But according to Vines, when I looked it up, it basically means this: to signify the speaking forth of the mind and counsel of God. It is the foretelling of the will of God, whether with reference to the past, the present, or the future. It's synergy at its best. But we can all do that, can't we? Do we understand the mind and the will of Christ, of God? We can all do that, can't we? Speak forth the mind and will of God. It's not as hard as it seems. I was recently staying with a very dear friend of mine called Tia, and speaking to her about my upcoming talk and getting sort of a bit of feedback. And as she listened to my words, the Holy Spirit dropped a revelation and a connection into her spirit and into her heart that just blew me away. She said to me this: I wonder if synovial fluid comes from the word synergy. Synovial fluid is the fluid that is in between your joints, and it helps them to move without friction. So, anyway, we looked it up. We were blown away even more. This is what we found. Bones need synovial fluid because synovial fluid is a lubricant. Synovial fluid is made up of approximately about 40 molecules. It's a good number, that, isn't it? 40 molecules. Each molecule in synovial fluid has a different role. Get this. Alone, each molecule cannot work, but only together can synovial fluid do the job that it's meant to do. Oh my goodness. Only together can the molecules, the synovial fluid, do the job. Synovial, of course, is from the root word synergy, isn't it? and shows the best of working together for a greater good. Synovial fluid, I believe, is like the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Sorry, I can see all the cogs turning. Yeah. Synergy. God is so good. So today, how about we bring our dry bones before God and prophesy, speak out the mind and will of God over them. Let us bring them back to life. Sometimes we think that if we bring our inabilities to God, that he'll blow on them and bring them to life. But today, and I think more importantly, what he's more interested in is that we bring our inabilities before God, our dry bones to God, and ask him to blow on them. God uses us despite ourselves. God uses us because of ourselves. So, I want to be in synergy with God, don't you? I don't need to be the next Moses. I don't need to be the next Deborah. For I know that he has a great plan and purpose for me. And I know that he has a great plan and a purpose for all of you. And that is to live in the promise of John 15. To work with God as his friend. To live in the promise of Romans 8 verse 28 in synergy with him. As we heard earlier, this promise isn't passive. It's always a catch, isn't there? God's goodness in bad situations awaits a posture of proactivity from me and from you. And through our synergy, all things will work together or synergize for the glory of God. So I'd like to start this activation today and pray and prophesy over you. I would encourage you to continue afterwards. Speak out for each other. Make declarations. Have words of knowledge. What do you think? So, it says proactivity. So, if you can stand, let's be proactive and stand. And remember, never give up. Nothing too impossible. Nothing is too forgotten. Nothing is too dead to rise up and work for the glory of God. Nothing is too hopeless. We should never forget because God never forgets. So let us pray. Jesus, as we unclench our fists, unfold our arms, and open our palms, help us to hear the word of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that we can stand before you today in freedom and without fear. Thank you that you call us your friends. What a privilege. Today we would like to pray as Ezekiel prayed and prophesy the mind and the will of Father God. Jesus, we want to be your eyes and your ears and your mouth here on earth. Open our eyes and ears that we will see and hear the spiritual. Open our mouths, Lord Jesus, so that your words pour forth for your glory. I speak out and declare now, Father God, revive us now, especially in the knowledge and belief of the power you have placed within us. I pray that that be released right now in Jesus' name. I ask that you release within us a passion to use all of your giftings for your glory. Help us right now to stir up the dry bones within us, to prophesy so that we will be ready and able to speak forth life, that we can speak forth restoration, that we can speak forth healing, speak forth wholeness in Jesus' name. Ezekiel spoke out over the dry bones that represented Israel, and his prophecy didn't come to fruition for many years. Let us never forget, Lord Jesus. I declare right now that every negative word or evil word that has been spoken over us corporately or individually or out of our own mouths has to leave right now in Jesus' name. I declare that these words will no longer affect our walk with you or our destiny. I declare that they all are all being reversed. They are all being revoked. They are all being erased permanently now in Jesus' name. I declare that we are blood-bought children of God. We have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We have your power and your authority. As your word says, greater things will you do than he did. I prophesy favor over you all now. I prophesy supernatural words over you now. I prophesy supernatural encounters over you all right now. We declare that yours is the victory. Amen. And we acknowledge that we live on the victory side of the cross. Yes. As blood-bought children. Father, we step into the valley unafraid. He has called us to prophesy over the dry bones. We call to all the prodigals to return, for any obstacle to be removed. We speak out your will in this, Lord, because your word says it is your will that none shall perish. We call back the prodigals. I declare life and the breath of God over our disappointments. I declare life and the breath of God over our finances, over our addictions, the life and breath of God over our fear and our anxiety, over our grief. I declare life and breath and the breath of God over all hopeless situations. I speak out strength for the weary. Lord, I release all these supernatural things. I release supernatural healings and declare that we will hear great testimonies. Rescue our sons and daughters, Lord. Rescue them from the evils of this world. Pour out your spirit upon them. I release prophecy over them. I release dreams and visions. I declare life and the breath of God over this school and all that walk through the doors. I prophesy revival in this area, that all dead hearts would come alive and come to you, to know you. There is a fresh wind going to blow on Bognor. It is the breath of God. Revival is coming. We prophesy now in Jesus' name. We call out for an army to arise from the dry bones, an unstoppable army working with you. Breathe, breath of God. Breathe over us. Bring our dry bones back to life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.